You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the west coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the east. Welcome to Hagmann, the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It is Friday, January 26, 2018. Thanks for joining me this morning. I'm going to jump right into it because a lot of stuff to get into. The memo. Okay, let me just start out by saying this. To reiterate and to drive home the point, it seems like it's necessary based on the emails I'm getting, based on the responses I've been getting from people who are just waking up to this story. Understand this. This is the what we are watching today unfold, and I've said this before, and for those listening to this program, thank you for your patience in my reiteration of specific points, but it's necessary for those just coming on board. And this program, by the way, is growing exponentially. Thank you for spreading the word about this program. Please continue to do so. But we are witnessing right now the exposure of the shadow government, the deep state, the very mechanism that Kevin Shipp has talked about, the very mechanism that we have been screaming about in the new honest media. Some might refer to it as the alternative media. It is now coming to, it's now coming wide out in the open. And at the epicenter of this, of course, are the globalists, the actors in this, the perpetrators, the people that make up the deep state, the shadow government, the Clinton dynasty, let's not forget the Bush dynasty. Now understand, this deep state shadow government transcends the political right-left paradigm. There are members of the Republican wing of politics and the Democratic wing. It just happens to be more populated by the Democrats, by the leftists, by the progressives, simply because it matches their ideology. A globalist takeover of the United States matches their utopian view of the communist utopia that they hope to create, change America into. Now, it's clear, it is absolutely clear that we have an ongoing war within the government and outside of the government. The participants in this war are those attempting to expose the machinations and the nefarious activities of the deep state, the shadow government, and those who are attempting to hide it, either through, either by commission or by omission. And by omission, I mean the refusal to report on what is the most important scandal, the most important criminal activity, the most critical issue of the day. There is nothing more important in the news today than this very topic, and that's the takeover, attempted takeover of our nation by the globalists. So the actors are clear. You've got an element within the FBI and Department of Justice ranging from former and current members. You've got go all the way back to Holder, and even before in the Department of Justice, Eric Holder, of course, who's got ties to these fascist groups, and even the Islamo-fascist groups. And by the way, it is at these levels where we see the merging of and the collusion with the Islamic State, the Islamic agenda. For example, it was Mueller, as a director of the FBI, who is now special counsel investigating Donald Trump's collusion with Russia. It was Mueller who ordered all of the manuals, the investigative books at the FBI in the training courses to expunge, to erase, to eradicate any reference to Islam. All right, and that fits the shaping of the narrative, that the shaping of the worldview of agents, investigators, and investigative bodies, entities, because the FBI goes out and trains law enforcement. They have a reach well beyond anything that would confine their actions within the walls of the Hoover Building. So in other words, this, from the top, from the very top, they are shaping the worldview of everyone. And this is something that's not being talked about by anybody. So you've got, at the Department of Justice, some time ago, you had Eric Holder. By the way, he was the only attorney general ever held in contempt of Congress, but I digress. I want to be very focused, very laser-like in this episode. You've got Holder. You've got him working in tandem with, concurrent with, and in addition to Robert Mueller, who is the special counsel, former FBI director, who expunges all of the information about valuable information about the Islamic threat to our country, allowing the Islamic threat, terrorist here into this country. The narrative is being shaped because they are teaching, providing this material to law enforcement agencies, local police departments, state police departments through training and such. They're changing the view and the narrative. And this is so important because along with the expunging of the Islam, threat of Islam, you've got the replacement of that by saying, okay, well, patriot groups are in fact a bigger threat than Islamic terrorist groups. So this goes much deeper and much wider than just the exoneration of Hillary Clinton. This goes much deeper and much wider than the investigation about Uranium One. This, and again, use the larger view, and no one, even those who are talking about this issue, they're not talking about the wider view, because when it is only when you look at the wider view do you understand how critical this is in shaping the perception of the American public. It's either by commission or omission or both, and it's been happening for the last 20 plus years, actually longer than that. And the media is absolutely complicit in this. Now, today I'm going to talk about the fact that 7 pages of the text communications between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were released. And I will put it in the show notes where you can find the 7 pages. Now, understand there are 384 pages in total, a lot of text messages. Just to put it in perspective, and this is rough math, roughly 50,000 texts between Strzok and Page in 5 months. Now, these are the love Strzok, pun intended, paramours that are exchanging texts when they're not together between the sheets, which comes out to about 10,000 texts per month, or about 333 per day, all right? Now, think about that. That's insane, all right? If you're looking at basically, when you come down to the working hours and such, you're looking at about roughly 24 texts an hour, or one every 2.5 minutes, 7 days a week. Now, that's obviously at the extreme, but think about this. And within those texts, the 7 pages that, again, I'll link to the PDF file, there's no doubt that it shows the activities of these two influential, these people who hold influential positions, one in the DOJ, that would be Page, the other in the FBI, that would be Strzok, that are changing the narrative, changing the story, and pushing this fictitious story line that is supportive of Hillary Clinton and very, very anti-Donald Trump. You know that, of course. But it's amazing when I turned on MSNBC yesterday. Yeah, I'm still in therapy for that. To hear them talk about these texts, saying that it's all taken out of context and it's just nothing but a conspiracy theory, that these are have any importance. This is what the Americans, the most of the Americans, at least on both coasts and in the urban areas, are this is the information they're listening to. The CNNs, the MSNBC, the CBS, NBC, and ABC, when they are not, well, that's what, when these networks are reporting, if they are reporting, this is what they're reporting. It's all just this Republican, in their words now, not mine, conspiracy nonsense, conspiracy theory. And this is why, I'd like to point out, this is why we are having a difficult time, we meaning you and I, the people who know what's going on, in discussing this over family dinners, you know, with our lesser informed relatives or friends or neighbors or the people we work with. It's deliberate omission. It's deliberate lies by omission, or even skewing the information, and thereby lies by commission. And at the center of this, of course, all of the network stations, of course. So this is why we're having a hard time. But I don't want to digress. I want to maintain my focus on this one topic, because there's so much that you will find from these text messages. And I want to talk about the memo, the four-page memo. I want to tell you exactly. Listen, I'm going to tell you exactly what you can expect from this memo. But maintaining with the text messages that were released. In fact, Conservative Treehouse Sundance, I often reference and cite that website, that writer, who says that there's been a great deal of speculation about FBI agent Peter Strzok and FBI attorney Lisa Page leaking to the media in their efforts to shape stories conducive to their pro-Clinton and anti-Trump efforts. Now, remember, if you take the text messages and overlay them, and this is a lot of work and research, but if you overlay them with the news stories that came out, you can see absolute proof of media manipulation. And hats off to Sundance and Conservative Treehouse, because they put together, they did exactly that, or this person did exactly that, and found that the information that was being constructed by Page and Strzok was being leaked to one person, and this is beyond dispute. I would feel comfortable taking this to court, but when you look at the text messages that were released, again, seven pages released yesterday, and they're online, and you overlay them with the reporting, you can see where Sundance comes to this conclusion, and I do as well in checking this work, where the sources, where Page and Strzok were actually the sources in Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post, and the person they were leaking to is someone known as Devlin Barrett, or Barrett, I guess. B-A-R-R-E-T-T. When you overlay the text and the reporting, and there's something else that's interesting about this that I'm going to get into just momentarily, but when you look at this, on October 28th of 2016, at the exact time the reopening of the Clinton investigation hit the media news cycle, Page and Strzok were texting, and you look at the messages, and you look at the reporting. Okay, so from the released messages, we see that at 5:19 p.m. on October 28th, 2016. Now, remember, this is before the election, and they're desperately trying to be very pro-Clinton and anti-Donald Trump. You see, at 5:19 on October 28th, Lisa Page is on the phone with someone referenced as Devlin Page. Here it is, Page, the text, 5:19 p.m. Still on the phone with Devlin. Mike's phone is on fire. And then 5:29, Strzok writes back, "You might want to tell Devlin he should turn on CNN. There's news on." And then 5:30, a minute later, Page writes, "He knows. He just got handed a note." And then 3 minutes later, He's asking about it now. Rights struck. And then a minute later, 5:34. Yeah, it's pretty funny. Coming now. Do you see in real time the news being manipulated by these two individuals in the FBI? Now, if you, here it is. This, you, absolute proof. You could take this to a court of law, I believe, lay it down. Exhibit A, the manipulation of the media by the anti-Donald Trump swamp creatures, pro-Hillary Clinton swamp creatures in the FBI. And we are being told by the people at MSNBC being lectured, saying that, you know, it's okay to have political opinions. Since when is it everyone has political opinions? There's no there. It's okay. This is not what this is about. This is about the active influencing of real news. And here it is. Slam dunk, take it to the bank, take it to the jury. This is proof positive that Devlin Barrett was talking directly to, or Page Strzok were giving this Devlin Barrett, who was working for the Wall Street Journal National Security Division. He was a national security reporter. Now with the Washington Post, they were influencing the news concurrent with their, they were shaping the story. Donald Trump is correct. No matter if you don't like him, if you like him, he is absolutely correct. The collusion is evident. And when you look at that same day, October 28th, 2016, at Devlin Barrett's Twitter at 5:36, he's responding to a tweet. Now, I'm not going to get into the tweet thread, but it's further verified on Devlin Barrett's Twitter feed. If you go to 5:36 p.m. on October 28th, 2016. So, the sources that this Devlin Barrett cites, perfect match, like a fingerprint or a mold of a shoe in soft mud, a perfect match. I would go with the, I guess, fingerprint analogy. That, yes, Page and Strzok were leaking directly to the Wall Street Journal reporter Devlin Barrett, who was using this as news, as sources, and the information that he was reporting was information that was contaminated against Donald Trump and pro-Hillary Clinton. There is absolutely no other way of looking at this. Proof positive. So MSNBC, you can suck it. Simple as that. And I'm sorry if that sounds offensive, this is proof positive that there was and is a conspiracy by definition. And if you go back 5 days previous, October 23rd, 2016, when you look at the text messages, the inbox and the outbox of Page and Strzok, the sourcing for the exclusive report by Devlin Barrett on the controversy, for example, of Andrew McCabe and his financial connections to Clinton and McAuliffe, the source was Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, key people within the Clinton email investigation. This is the smoking gun with respect to the collusion between the FBI pro-Hillary insiders, the anti-Donald Trump insiders, and the media. Smoking gun collusion. Now, that brings me to the memo, because this memo is just the first bullet, figuratively, of course, the first volley of information to come out. Now, everyone is kind of hanging their hat on this four-page memo at the House. This is only the first of many damning exhibits to come out. And here's what I mean by this. This, the, the, well, you know, I guess you would know what I mean. The collusion is wide and it's deep. The obstruction, just the criminality of the deep state and the shadow government is so, it's breathtaking in its scope. This only touches this is only surface level information, but it's damning surface level information nonetheless. Now, I do want to, there was a good piece in the Federalist that explains what to expect from the House Intel memo on surveillance abuse. Because remember, this surveillance abuse, and this is important to understand, it affects you. If you're listening to this broadcast, it affects you. It affects me and has affected me. And I've got to tell you, oh boy, yeah, I'll say this. Exposure to this is dangerous. Very dangerous to one's health and one's pocketbook. Exposing this is extremely dangerous. You know, I like Sean Hannity. I like Sarah Carter. I like John. I like all of those. Everyone who has been reporting on this House Intel memo. I like them a lot because they're actually reporting on it. I'm a fan now of a lot of the congressmen who are coming out and pushing this four-page Intel memo, but they're pulling their punches in certain areas, and I know this to be a fact. For example, they're not talking about the entirety of this. Because, look, Hannity has been under surveillance. Hannity has been wiretapped. And as well as the majority of the reporters who are making a difference at Fox News. Under the Obama regime, there was active wiretapping. Jones, Alex Jones, InfoWars, they have been under surveillance. We have been under surveillance. There are others who, with a large footprint in the new media, who have been under surveillance, and I've got verification of this. So this extends beyond the Donald Trump wiretapping, although that's key because that's a political opponent. In terms of me, for example, okay, even to a lesser or to a greater extent, Sean Hannity, that's not like surveilling a political opponent, which is a game changer, obviously, in our constitutional republic. But nonetheless, it's in addition to being a violation of our Fourth Amendment rights and privacy, it's unsettling to hear. But it's so important, okay? Because this will, the four-page memo will detail the anti-Donald Trump narrative that has that was created, and I'm going to get into the exact what we can all expect from this four-page document. But there is so much more, and the more is exponentially more damning and more troublesome, and should be to the American public than is being reported right now. But. Again, I don't want to go too far. I want to stay laser-like focused because Molly Hemingway in The Federalist wrote just a fantastic summary about what to expect from the House Intel memo on surveillance. And she points out that little is known about the document. Remember earlier this week, the document was released. No. There was going back, 99-page audit dated April 26, 2017. I've had that. I've got it. And it's a damning audit of the surveillance abuses. But this particular memo, what we do know is that the memo details potential abuses by federal authorities related to the Steele dossier and secret surveillance warrants obtained by Obama and his people. And Hemingway is spot on because she states that the impending release of a major classified document from investigators at the House is just stoking this outrage and intrigue across the board. it's getting more difficult for MSNBC and the networks to disregard this memo. Now, the actual four-page document is held under lock and key, and it's available only to lawmakers in the House who have legally agreed to abide by House rules and keep the information secret until it's publicly released. So there's no one is talking about this. If you've noticed, no one will commit to anything specific about it. But what we do know is that the document is based on oversight and investigation of the FBI and DOJ, and it details abuses of those agencies, the authorities, as it relates to the Steele dossier and secret surveillance warrants obtained by the Obama regime. Now, she writes that the memo will likely be released to the public eventually. Obviously, we're seeing that now, and I'm not going to get too far into that. You know. And it's interesting because the White House had said that, hey, we don't need to sign off on this. Now, understand the process for this is I don't think it's ever been used in the history of the House. I could be wrong on that. If it has been, it's not certainly not common for the release of a classified document directly from the House Intel Committee. But the White House says we don't have to sign off on it. Go ahead and release it. But if you listen to legal scholars, once the memo is released by the House, it goes to the President. The President has 5 days to either approve it or deep six it. Obviously, the whole narrative here or the whole story here is Donald Trump will release it, end of story. And he's saying, look, just release it, period. But it's important to point out that the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, they already voted to allow all 435 members of the House to see the document. That's a done deal. And it's interesting to note that the majority of people who looked at the document were simply Republicans. Okay, and there were a few Democrats. And for example, Schiff and others are saying, well, you shouldn't release it because it's damaging. Well, no, it's not. I would find that hard to believe. It's damaging to the right people. In other words, it must be made public because it damages the deep state objective and agenda. But in order, just so people understand, in order for people to see the document, the House members, they have to go to a secure site and legally agree to keep its contents undisclosed until such time that it's publicly released. And as House members have begun reading the document, they have called for its public release on the grounds of its importance. And to date, at this moment in time, based on everything I've been able to come up with, about half of the House members, and the majority of them obviously with R's after their name, have read the document. Now, when the House reconvenes here, probably next week, the committee will vote to release it to the public. And when they do, President Donald Trump has got 5 days to notify the committee of his opposition to its release, which is not going to happen. But let's just say if it does, because this we're talking about a procedural matter here, if he would object, the entire House may vote to release its contents over the objection of President Donald Trump. And if he does not object, it may be made public after the 5 days expire, but bottom line, it's going to come out. But what is it? It's a summary. The document is a summary, and it's only 4 pages long. It's not going to be a massive compendium with hundreds of pages of salacious details to consume. It's going to be a very concise summary of a year-long investigation involving millions of documents and hundreds of hours of interviews. That's what this memo is. It'll provide facts, and since the dossier and its contents, along with the other opposition research-funded documents alleging this nefarious contacts between Donald Trump and Russia, since all of this was given to the media, journalists have written thousands of pieces on the topic. And look, I compare this to my own personal situation. But it's, again, I cite the fact that this is dangerous to do so. So I'm not going to. More will come out on that. If anyone's wondering about this, let me say more will come out at the appropriate time. All you have to do is if you want to know what I'm talking about, 2013, my conversations with a Fox News reporter And suddenly I look down at my phone and I see a ring back kind of deal where either it was through intimidation perhaps or some inexplicable mistake on the caller ID. I see NSA Utah Data Recording Center or something to that effect. I'm not being exact here in my terminology, but I was just astounded, absolutely astounded. Never happened since or never before, but I digress. But the memo itself, and like myself, a lot of information, a lot of columns, a lot of print space was devoted to the Russian narrative. And a lot of print space, a lot of communications, or a lot of articles by so-called journalists creating this false, fictitious story, this account that Donald Trump was engaged in Russia, with Russians. Oh, it's hoax. It's hokum. But with respect to that, many of those articles were based on hearsay, motivated leaks, as I just explained to you. The leak that can be traced to Page and Strzok precisely, like a fingerprint. But so this is the reverse engineering showing that this is what has happened in America. The widespread speculation that has been contradictorily or wildly wrong about Donald Trump, where's it coming from? The very globalists who are working for our intelligence agencies. The memo will provide facts and shed light on these allegations that have been rampant throughout the media. The memo will detail wrongdoing, but those looking at the memo, ultimately, you ought to keep your expectations in check. And as Molly Hemingway said, that as soon as the House members saw the document, many of them were alarmed. Some of them described it as troubling and shocking and jaw-dropping and sickening, worse than Watergate and criminal. Ron DeSantis, in a Twitter message on January 18th, 8 days ago now, said that the classified report compiled by the House Intelligence is deeply troubling and raises serious questions about the upper echelon of the Obama Department of Justice and Comey FBI as it relates to the so-called collusion investigation. Now, you can go to other sites whom they say, okay, it's names Rosenstein, Comey, and, it doesn't matter because these people are named, will be named in this. But Hemingway cites that even some of the progressives are acknowledging the fact that this memo is significant. Those who have seen the memo are saying, don't release it, don't release it. Well, you wouldn't say that if it was BS. In fact, they say that the items alleged are taken out of context. Oh, my goodness. That they're meaningless without the classified documentation supporting them. See, they're not saying it's not a big deal. They're saying, well, you can't really, this is all taken out of context. And notice how vicious their opposition is. Meaning the progressive globalists, their opposition to the release of this document is so vicious, it is telling by itself. Look, there's no question that the allegations in this four-page document are a big deal. The perception, however, of the significance of the report will vary. For people who know, like you're listening to this program, if you know a lot about the special counsel investigation and how it was operated and how it came to be, well, you know, it may seem more significant than to those who are not as up to speed on the complicated details of what we talk about. You know, people who have a high tolerance for surveillance or aggressive law enforcement, they might look at it and say, no big deal. They might be more excusing of abuses than others. This according to Molly Hemingway, I cite again. And people with strong feelings about Trump, either pro or con, may find it difficult to set aside those feelings as they evaluate the facts regarding the DOJ and FBI's handling of their extensive powers. Remember, it's about the abuse of power, not about the man. Now, you can expect blowback. I think we can all agree on this. While we in the general public don't yet know the specifics contained in the report, we know that the alleged abuses by senior officials at the FBI, DOJ, are significant enough to cause a wide variety of our congresspeople or lawmakers extensive concern. So you can expect that the FBI, expect the DOJ to react the same way any other person or institution reacts when indicted or charged with a major crime. They're going to say, The information's fake, or it's taken out of context, or, you know what, you can't prove anything. So that's what we can expect. And just as an example, again, citing Molly Hemingway, Ron DeSantis, House member Ron DeSantis, said that while the report is classified as top secret, he said that, "I believe that the Select Committee should, pursuant to House rules, vote to make the report publicly available as soon as possible. And this is a matter of national significance, and the American people deserve the truth." Now, I don't want to lose you. Don't get bored here of what I'm saying, because there is a great dot connecting tie up to all of this here at the end of this broadcast. But now, Assistant AG Stephen Boyd disagreed with DeSantis, sending a letter to Nunes himself, saying that releasing a memo alleging abuses at the DOJ and FBI would be, it's extraordinarily reckless. This should not surprise you. I know it doesn't, because nobody wants their dirty laundry exposed. Now, expect major pushback from anyone who latched onto the Russia-Trump collusion theory over the last year. Again, citing Molly Hemingway, important, the four-page document will reportedly discuss FBI and Department of Justice handling of the opposition research. The DNC, the Hillary Clinton, that funded opposition research that was used in official law enforcement work. And the more we learn, the more Americans learn about the Russia-Trump collusion theory, the more it seems that the entire story was actually created out of whole cloth by the Hillary Clinton DNC-funded opposition research. None of the substantive allegations in the infamous Steele dossier have been verified whatsoever. Understand that. And if think about this, if there really is nothing to the collusion theory, that itself poses something of an a crisis, if you will, for those who bought into the theory as their best hope for removing Donald Trump as president of the United States. Boy, that list is long, isn't it? The media, the DNC, the Clinton supporters, the Obama supporters, and even people on the, well, even never Trumpers. Because out of all the theories and attacks on President Donald Trump, regardless of their legitimacy, the Russia theory is set apart and special because of its impeachment power. People have placed all of their chips on this line. This is the best way to go about removing Donald Trump from office. If you think about it, it makes sense. So this is what you can expect. And a few other points as well. You can expect conflicting messages from opponents of the summary document. The first conflicting message was already previewed in the DOJ's letter to the House Intelligence Committee. Again, they argued that America will be in greater danger as a result of the House of Representatives doing its job and undertaking its constitutional duty to conduct this oversight. They're saying, don't release it because it would put sources and methods in jeopardy, when in fact it does not. And most importantly, this is merely the beginning and not the end. And this is the key now. While the summary itself is just one aspect of the House Intelligence Committee's oversight and investigation, while it's significant, it's not the end. It's not the last. The memo is the beginning this marks the beginning of the exposure of the deep state surveillance and law enforcement powers. Understand, the deep state, their one of their most critical and crucial tools is their ability to conduct surveillance. And surveillance not just of you and I, although that's important, but of their political opposition, Donald Trump and his team. And to use that information to remove or to prevent or remove people from office, or to slander those people. Or in the case of you and I, imagine you and I being in that position of surveillance, and we are. This will create, I'm sure, a conversation, and will show the abuses of the surveillance. It will show Obama for what he truly is and was and is. He used the powers of the surveillance state for political gain. Obviously, we know that, as did Hillary Clinton, and still does. Don't forget, she still has that. She still has the classified access, as do others. The rampant abuse of the deep state surveillance powers will be laid bare for all to see. This is the big deal, and it will connect the dots. Now look, again, I mentioned that this is just the start, because where does this all end? If we were to expose everything, and just kind of almost a summary of this week, of this week's shows, all roads intersect at the doorstep of Obama with respect to his knowledge. Every one of the scandals, essentially, Uranium One, the Hillary Clinton emails, they're all Obama's scandals as well. And when you start rounding up the stable of deep state suspects, when you put them all in this fenced-in area, you can see exactly who the perpetrators, the globalist minions are, the actors in this conspiracy to take down our representative republic. And this is so not just alarming, but it's so enlightening. You can shine a light of complicity, of criminal complicity, on this group of people and those working with this group of people, including the media. I'm going to tell you right now, along with the this four-page document, along with the release of the financial documents of Fusion GPS, you will see where members of the media were paid money to run articles. Think about that now for a second. It's not bad enough that the media is compromised, and they've got this. And remember the Operation Mockingbird. Remember all of these. Oh my goodness! Remember all of these proven conspiracy theories, but not theories. Verified instances of the CIA influencing our media, the intelligence deep state apparatus controlling what the media says. So, by the way, what do you expect? If that's the case, what do you expect from people like Anderson Cooper or Scarborough and others? What would you expect? Of course they're going to push back. But the light, the hot spotlight of exposure now is on the media as well as the operatives, and the relationship, the incestuous relationship between the deep state and the media will be exposed as well at the end of the day. This memo doesn't do that. But this is why the media is attempting to ignore it. Failing that, they're gonna disparage it. They're gonna say, oh, it's taken out of context, it's meaningless, it's BS. Because their fingerprints are on the spy glasses as well. Their fingerprints are on the bills, the dollar bills, the 50s and 100s and cash. They're being paid to run stories contrary to pro-constitutional ideas and the pro-constitutional ideology. They're not just acting by omission. They're complicit in all of this. So, in summary, what we're seeing here is this: the biggest story not being told, now coming, now starting to be told. But remember, the four-page document is just merely the beginning, because this will open the floodgates. This will open the floodgates to expose the machinations, the evil, nefarious actions of Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Obama, and others, and Comey, and Rosenstein, and Strzok, and Page, and the list is extensive. And it will also expose, I truly believe, as we go forward, this will open the floodgates to, we've talked about this before, the Awan criminal conspiracy in the House itself. Yes, the Pakistani national spy ring in Congress. Well, how does that, you might ask, relate to everything? Well, it relates to this, for example, because you have some of the very same players who are attempting to mold, to shape the story of the Russian collusion, who are either being blackmailed or are involved, either victims or complicit actors in the spy ring in Congress by Pakistani nationals, the Awan brothers, the Awan cabal. And suddenly, by the way, that just kind of disappeared from the radar, didn't it? Oh, but I'm going to tell you right now, I have more on that and how this connects together. I'm looking at the clock. I'm not going to have time to get into it, but I will tell you that when you start taking apart all of the elements of deception, of criminality that will be exposed, being laid bare for everyone to see, looking the other way is the Department of Justice and the FBI. As a matter of fact, not just looking the other way in matters such as this Pakistani spy ring. They're actively, I think the proof will come on this, actively facilitating this for reasons of control of not just the optics via the press, but control of the lawmakers. Remember, Congress has the oversight of the FBI and the Department of Justice. It's not the reverse. However, have we not seen, and are we not seeing, where the FBI and DOJ appear to have some sort of oversight or effect over Congress? If you look at the big picture, isn't it flipped? And why is that? That's not right. Congress has the oversight, as pointed out by Nunes and others. They're the ones with the oversight. Yet, what we've seen and what we still see is the FBI and the Department of Justice calling the shots, even at the congressional level. And an exhibit of that, of course, would be the manipulation and the handling of the Pakistani spy ring. But again, I want to stop there because, again, my laser, I want to be focused like a laser on this, on what is coming in the short term. Just understand where we're at here and the importance of this. Oh, and by the way, I had talked about, and I don't mean to stray here or to hop around subjects, but when I spoke about the media, did you notice that yesterday, and I don't know how many people saw this, but Fox News anchor Shepard Smith rebuked Republicans in Congress and even Sean Hannity for hyping the release of a memo, of the four-page memo, calling it, and I quote, a weapon of mass distraction. That's right. Now, what does this tell us? Now, obviously, you'll say, yeah, well, I knew this. Why are you talking about something we already know? Well, his remarks yesterday are extremely important because they are so enlightening. Obviously, Shepard Smith dismissed the memo, saying that it lacks any substance. And he quotes basically Schiff and others by saying that it's misleading, distracting, and lacking context. The battle lines here, the reason I bring this out, is now you can, the verification of those in the pocket of the deep state, of the shadow government, of the permanent state, the actors are now being identified. And if you listen or read his remarks, Shepard Smith, again, Fox Network, saying the memo itself is in the conservative discussion mix while the special counsel investigating Russian interference into our democracy is apparently about to interview, Donald Trump. It's all a weapon of partisan mass distraction. Now, this monologue by Shepard Smith, who he also targets Devin Nunes, who Smith noted was involved in a meeting with Donald Trump with the Trump White House last year that resulted in his recusal from the Russia investigation. Shepard Smith is kind of pumping this up. You can see that this provides clarity, not just in addition to Shepard Smith as being a deep state actor, but it provides clarity with respect to the playbook, the tactics of the deep state. So we've all known Shepard Smith was an actor of the deep state, colluding with the deep state. But now you can see the tactics in action. You can see the divide now within Fox News, where there really was never any cohesiveness between Smith and Sean Hannity. But when you have Shepard Smith, a Fox News host, actively attacking, for example, Sean Hannity, you can see, I hope with absolute clarity, how divisive this is and how much of a battle this is and how important this is. It should become clear, and it's worth noting. I really believe that in and of itself is absolutely worth noting. Although we've known it, to see it in action now, and to see Fox allowing Shepard Smith this monologue diatribe, where he calls this particular document a weapon of partisan mass distraction. And takes to the woodshed, or attempts to, Sean Hannity on his own network. You can see how bitter this fight will be. Now, lastly, by the way, I don't play audio or have play audio segments just to have them played. In the closing minutes here of my show, there was an interview conducted with between Sean Hannity and House Chairman Bob Goodlatte yesterday to discuss the one of the more concerning and troubling revelations about the FBI and their investigative bias within the Hillary Clinton investigation and subsequent surveillance on her political opponent, Donald Trump. It's a 6-minute audio clip. I'm going to leave you with this. Listen to pulling the exculpatory evidence, keeping it from where it should be, the tanking of 302s. I'll just let Goodlatte and Sean Hannity kind of close this program out. Listen carefully to this. This is extremely critical information. I'll leave you with this. God bless each and every one of you. We have to fight the great fight. Let's stick together. Let's do that. I'm going to have, without any doubt whatsoever, I'm going to be live this weekend with additional programming talking about other issues. May God bless. Here's Hannity and Goodlatte yesterday talking about the bias and evidence, the 302s, documents being withheld. Go ahead and play.
Request. This text reads in part, quote, "The thing is, there are very inflammatory things in the 302s that we didn't turn over to Congress because they weren't relevant to understanding the focus of the investigation that are going to come out in a Freedom of Information Act request and absolutely inflame Congress." Wow. This just broke moments ago. Joining us now with more on this development, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Virginia Congressman Bob Goodlatte. Sir, good to see you. Welcome to New York.
Thank you, Sean. Great to be with you and your viewers.
Anything I'm saying so far before I get to this new information that's wrong? Anything you think I'm wrong on?
Well, we don't know everything that's right yet, and so it's absolutely critical that we get all of this information out. But this is very alarming, and it is absolutely something that the Congress needs to pursue and the American people need to know about. The calls for transparency are absolutely important.
Sounds like they're withholding, my interpretation, things from Congress.
Well, that's how I read this text that we have provided today. This text struck references 302s. As you know from the amount of time you've spent on this, 302s are reports filed by FBI agents after they interview witnesses. And they were requested by the Congress. And Strzok is talking to Lisa Page, and he says, there are very inflammatory things in the 302s we didn't turn over to Congress because they weren't relevant to understanding the focus of the investigation that are going to come out in a FOIA and absolutely inflame Congress. Now, why is it that folks in the FBI make that decision rather than the United States Congress makes the decision what is relevant to the investigation?
We do have co-equal branches of government the last time I checked, and we do have oversight of Congress, and in particular of these branches. Let me ask you this, because this is what we're learning. They first talked of an insurance policy. I believe it's Andrew McCabe, Strzok and Page. Then we've got, they knew that there was nothing that was going to happen. Now, Peter Strzok is literally exonerating with James Comey, Hillary Clinton. They start this in early May. She's not interviewed till the 4th of July. July 1st, then we find out Loretta Lynch, Profile in Courage, that Loretta Lynch also knows nothing's going to happen to Hillary. So we have Comey, Strzok, Page, McCabe, and Loretta Lynch knowing nothing's going to happen, an exoneration before investigation. Is that common practice? I didn't know you wrote exonerations before you actually did the investigation.
Absolutely not. And it shows an unbelievably contrasting approach to the investigation of one presidential candidate compared to the investigation of the other presidential candidate.
What about the hate that we see, loathsome, F Trump, between Page and Strzok? And Strzok is up to his eyeballs in everything. And he even conducted the interview with Hillary before Comey then publicly exonerates her after a 13-and-a-half-minute speech where you think he's going to indict her.
And he edited that. He edited
Well, how many times? Taking out the legal standard.
Absolutely.
Well, they hate Trump. Now, he also was appointed by Mueller. All the Mueller appointments are Clinton, Obama, DNC donors. There's no Trump donors in there. And then I look at Andrew Weissman. Here's a guy that got it wrong, 9-0 decision in the Supreme Court overturning him. He held back exculpatory evidence.
Note the names here. Note the names.
Federal executives go to jail for a year. That's overturned by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Does that sound like somebody that should have been hired by Robert Mueller? And should this special counsel be disbanded based on what we know now?
It's very concerning about Weissman and more than just Strzok. On this investigation.
Okay, you can stop that. You get the idea here. You get the idea. Goodlatte and Sean Hannity, the important thing here is the defining moment in time. We are at this defining moment. Once this four-page memo is released and the full the text, the beyond the 7 pages that have been released, once everyone sees the complicity, once these names are made known, and Comey, for example, is shamed despite his righteous Twitter feed tweets or whatever, you're going to see the explosion of animus. The war between the deep state and the Patriots will go hot. Trust me when I tell you it is going to get really ugly. It's coming. And it's coming quickly. Be prepared. Pray, prepare. Please spread this show with others.
The Doug Hagmann Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagmann Report. Tune in to the Hagmann Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmannReport.com. That's HagmannReport.com.